I've said it before, and I will say it again, that this gospel passage from the end of John chapter 21, this is my favorite passage in all of Scripture. Old Testament, New Testament, Gospels, this is my absolute, absolute favorite passage, favorite scene from the Gospels. But I think to really kind of extract from it what the text is really here, the richness of what is here, we need to kind of have the overall context of St. Peter. And so kind of looking back, looking to the early days when Jesus first started his ministry and he was calling his apostles to him, we see a similar scene as today's gospel and the gospel of Luke at the calling of Peter when Jesus is in his boat and he says, you know, cast your net over the side. This is the first time he's really kind of met Peter. Cast your net over the side and catch fish. And Peter's like, listen, we've been fishing all night and haven't caught anything. But you know what? If you say so, I'll do it. And then they catch the big net of fish, and Peter recognizes that Jesus is not just he's not just another traveling preacher. He's not just one more guy. That there's something different here. And Peter's response, it's a beautiful, beautiful response. Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. Now, if I was to ask you, is that a humble response to Jesus? Depart from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. Is that a response of humility? I would say yes. I think that is a humble response. But it's a recognition of, like, Peter knows he's a sinner. Peter knows he's not where he needs to be. But there is a caveat. How well does he really understand himself, right? So skip forward a little bit further in the Gospels when there's the walking on the water, and Jesus is walking on the water, and all the apostles are terrified. They think they're seeing a ghost, and Jesus invites them to come out, and who's the one who goes out? Peter. He starts walking on the water towards Jesus, and then he takes his eyes off and looks at the storm, and he instantly begins to sink. And the Lord catches him and raises him back up. Peter's life, the entire story of Peter's life from beginning to end, it's a story of ups and downs, ups and downs, ups and downs. And sometimes within the same context of the same story, when Jesus asks them, who do people say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And Peter is the one who responds. He speaks up on behalf of the apostles. You are the Christ, the Son of God. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. And you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. But just no sooner than that, and he turns around and says, Jesus says, hey, by the way, I'm going to have to be killed in Galilee. And Peter's like, no, Lord, that's not going to happen. And Jesus has to say, get behind me, Satan. Peter gets it right and then gets it wrong. And then he gets it right again and then gets it wrong. All the gospel, the entire New Testament, that's the story. All the way up to the Last Supper. Key moment. Jesus is washing the apostles' feet and Peter says, not me, Lord. Nope. You're up here and I'm down here. I know my place. And the servant is supposed to wash the master's feet, not the other way around. And so you're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus says, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me. And Peter, as always, wants to go above and beyond. Well, then if you're going to wash my feet, then my head and my hands, let's do the whole thing. Let's go all the way. And then follows that up with when Jesus says, yeah, I'm going to go to be killed today. And Peter once again says, well, you know, that one of you will betray me. One of you will deny me. Peter says, not me. I'm not going to deny you. I'll be firm. If everyone else denies you, I will not. I will die with you. Really, Peter? Really? By the end of the night, you're going to deny me three times. Was there humility there? It's the same Peter who said, depart from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. But is there humility there? There's a confidence. There's a desire. But Peter, at that point, he is not in line with reality of where he is in relationship to God. Skip forward 12 hours when the cock crows and Peter realizes, I've denied him. I've abandoned him. And even in the midst of that cock crowing, John gives us a very, very, very important detail. Remember, it's at Caiaphas' house. It's Caiaphas, the high priest, captured Jesus. Judas betrayed him, went to his house. They're inside the building. In the building, they're interrogating Jesus, and that's what's happening inside. Outside, meanwhile, while that is happening to Jesus, Peter is warming himself where? By a charcoal fire. There's only two charcoal fires mentioned in the scripture. Two. It's not a wooden fire. It's not a flame of tongues. It's specifically a charcoal fire. When Peter denies Jesus in the court of Caiaphas and in today's gospel, when Jesus is cooking fish and he's got bread and fish there, he's waiting on the shore of Galilee at a charcoal fire. Peter's threefold denial of Jesus at a charcoal fire is undone in today's gospel at a charcoal fire in his threefold affirmation. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Today's gospel is a gospel of not just forgiveness and mercy, but this is the spiritual life, brothers and sisters. The whole thing from beginning to end. And the good news is, after Jesus encounters Peter, the threefold denial of his love, from there on out, Peter never sins again. He never falters. He never fails. His faith is never tested. Wrong! By the end of this gospel, so today's gospel, right, it's the end. We end in John 21:19. Guess what happens in John 21:20? Peter messes up again, and it's the same air that's in his lungs. At the end of today's gospel, Jesus says, when you were younger, you used to dress yourself and go where you wanted, but when you grow old, someone else will dress you and take you where you don't want to go, meaning that Peter was going to be martyred. And as Peter's instant response to that is, when Jesus says, by the way, Peter, you're going to get martyred, Peter looks over and he sees John walking in the distance, and Peter's response is, well, what about John? Is John going to get martyred? What about him? And Jesus, I just see him face palming and saying, Peter, you worry about Peter and let John worry about John. And then move forward, even after that, into the Acts of the Apostles. Guess what? Peter messes up there too. Today's first reading, guess what? Peter is the spokesman. And they get hauled in after the resurrection, and they're like, hey, you guys need to stop talking about Jesus. And Peter's a spokesman. Hey, we have to obey God rather than men. We are going to keep doing what we're doing. But then skip forward just a little bit later, and Paul writes and tells us that he had to correct Peter because Peter was flip-flopping on the teachings of what to do with Gentiles and what to do with Jews. And Peter and Paul kind of butted heads a little bit, and Peter eventually said, yeah, you know what? You're right. I am flip-flopping. And even then, at the very end, after an entire lifetime of 3 years of living with Jesus, seeing him in the resurrection, living as the first pope, and working, literally watching miracles happen in front of him, at the end of his life, when he finally is the pope, and he's in Rome, and persecutions start happening, and Peter has had enough, and he's like, I can't handle this. Now, this is extra scriptural. This is the tradition of the church. It's not, you're not going to find this in the Bible. But basically, Peter says, you know what? I'm out. And he heads out of Rome in the middle of the night, and he's making a run for it. He abandons Rome. And he gets a mile or two outside of the city, you know, just heading out of town. And as he's walking along out of Rome, he sees Jesus carrying the cross going into Rome. And there's this beautiful, famous line that Peter asked Jesus, Dominus quo vadis? Lord, where are you going? And Jesus responds to Peter, carrying his cross, Peter, I'm going back into Rome to be crucified once again. And then Jesus disappears. And so Peter realizes that he's abandoning his post. And he turns around, heads back into Rome, and is crucified upside down. Brothers and sisters, my point is, if there is ever a case study of conversion, it's Peter. If there is ever, and here's the thing, this is where I think we've done ourselves a major, major disservice in the church, is we set up these fairy tale stories of saints who never struggle, who have this aha moment, and then they ride off into the sunset and they live happily ever after. And they're never tempted, and they never sin, and they know exactly what to do in every situation. That is so bogus, and it's such a huge disservice to us as Christians. Because is that your reality? Because it sure as heck is not mine. And so when I see the reality of a man like Peter, who's doing his best and still falls, but rather than allowing the shame, the embarrassment, to overwhelm him and to say, well, it's not, what's the purpose? What's the use? Peter gets up and he goes again. Conversion, brothers and sisters, my point is this. Conversion is not an event. It's not like a light switch where you flip it on or you flip it off, and then poof, from there on out, everything is peachy. Conversion is not an event. It is a process, and it lasts an entire lifetime. You are not done being converted until the day you draw your last breath, and even then, if you're not there, that's what purgatory is for finishing. And I don't know about you, but why I love this passage so much, this gospel from today, is because it gives me so much hope. Jesus, when he sees Peter knows he's messed up at this point. He knows he just denied Jesus a couple days before this. He knows he is. There's a rupture there in their relationship, and he's waiting for the lecture from Jesus. He's waiting for the finger wagging and like, Peter, I told you, you're such a terrible apostle. Jesus doesn't go into any of that. Doesn't even bring it up. Doesn't mention it. But he does ask, Peter, do you love me? Brothers and sisters, I think that is the kind of faith we need to be stirring up in ourselves. A faith that says, yeah, messed up on the daily, but I'm going to get up and follow our Lord the best that I can. For us, especially as members of St. Peter the Apostle Parish, we have a particular connection to our patron, St. Peter. And so, even since I've been here for the last year, it's been something that I've just noticed. Peter, he's in the Gospels. He's all over. Almost every Gospel passage has Peter involved somehow. But notice him. Pay attention. Ask for his intercession. Ask for his help in your own process of converting and your own turning back to the Lord and your own stumbling. Peter's intercession is very close for us, and particularly, I guess, to pray for our next Holy Father, for the cardinals as they are working on the next election of the next pope. Pray that our next pope is the kind of Peter after the resurrection, after his denial. Because imagine if Peter, who was there at the Last Supper, imagine if Peter would have been, that was it, and that was the pope we got. Imagine how self-righteous Peter would have been the rest of his life. He needed the fall, he needed his denial, and he needed his reinstatement to really come to understand, to a true humility. And may it be so for us. St. Peter the Apostle, pray for us.